We've been spending some time this season looking at the incredible book of Ephesians. I hope you've had a chance to read some of it, but my hope this morning is that as we look at God's Word and as we meditate on it, my hope is that God's Spirit of wisdom will speak to our hearts, that we will just in some way get some freedom and peace and space from whatever distraction, whether it's good or bad, that is on our mind, that Scripture would have this amazing way of shocking us out of whatever unhelpful thought patterns, whatever's in our heads that isn't true, whatever isn't hopeful, and that we could be impacted in a fresh, powerful way by things that, as Paul says, are true and lovely and pure, admirable, lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy, that would affect us. This is God's Word from Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is God's word. You know, it was a Christmas week, and there I was sitting on the couch at home, and the kids were watching a movie on the screen, and they were singing along and jumping around, and I was in a good mood, full of Christmas joy and cookies, and I get this text message on my phone that just made me happier. It said, "Merry Christmas, this is your cell phone company." I'm not normally happy to hear from them, but then it said, "And we just want to thank you for paying your bills on time this year." And I smiled. I thought it was great. It is about time. I do not get enough thank you notes from companies just for paying bills. I was pretty happy about this. This is great. And a giant corporation wishing people Merry Christmas, it's about time. This is great. And I was just so thrilled when I had another cookie or two. And I got another text message that said, "Because you're such a loyal customer, we want to send you a free gift for Christmas." And I thought it was great. I wish more companies started sending me free gifts and wish me Merry Christmas. This is a wonderful trend. And I was pretty happy about all this. And then they said, "We're going to send you a free smartwatch." And could it get much better? It's great. I thought they must have tons sitting around their store. They just want to get rid of some, and it might be an off-brand thing, but I was still happy about it. And then they said, "All you have to do is pay $5 for shipping, and we'll send it to you right away." And you're laughing at me, but most of you have never had to make decisions while sitting on the couch with my crazy kids. Like, Lukey is sticking stuff in my ear. Jude is talking to me about gears or something. And I'm a little bit distracted, but I'm also excited about getting a smartwatch because, you know, worst case, I'll give it to one of my kids, and then they'll love it, and they'll tell me how many steps they do. I was imagining, imagine a world where I'm sitting on the couch, and I could say, "Hey, Luke, see if you could do another 5,000 steps. And I could sit on the couch in peace. I was sort of excited about this prospect. So I thought, why not? $5, let's do it. So there I am, like, wrestling with my kids, and Lukey is climbing on top of me. And there I'm trying to put some credit card information on a website that I'd never, ever heard of to get this free watch. And you're going to laugh at me. I actually did it. Don't give me that look. I know. It sounds so dumb when I say it. And I didn't really know what was going on in that moment. I was distracted. I was overwhelmed. I filled out all my information, and I hit submit. And this thing pops up that says your credit card was declined. And I thought that was strange because they were so happy about me paying my bills on time. And then seconds later, I get a more official looking notification from another very big company, the credit card company, that doesn't wish me Merry Christmas at all. Instead, I'll paraphrase. It says, "Dear Mr. Sutter, it looks like somebody who knew your credit card number was dumb enough to fall for a really obvious scam." And somebody actually thought they were going to get a free watch from their cell phone company who likes Christmas all of a sudden. And Mr. Sutter, we're assuming you're not this dumb, and it was an accident. So just in case you are that dumb, please let us know. We're not going to stop you from getting scammed, but we're going to do our best. But really, we're just going to cancel your credit card and send you a new one. So I know you're laughing at me. I should have figured this out way earlier, but in that moment, I was distracted. And there were two competing knowledge bases fighting for my attention. One was a pretty obvious scam that was telling me a story about a free watch that was false and it was trying to rip me off. And if I really stopped and thought about it, there would be some clues that told me it was wrong. Then there was another set of information. It was accurate. And in those moments, I was so distracted that I couldn't see some of the clues that should have warned me off. And I guess I'm fortunate for a very sharp credit card company, I guess. I could have lost. But that information saved me time and money. Today's message is like getting an alert from your credit card company that you are getting ripped off. Today's passage is about preventing a scam. Today's message can save you big time. These verses are a fraud alert. You know, there's a reason why you're restless sometimes. There are some clues that you see about life that lead you to be suspicious about what's in front of you. There is another set of information that you need to know that will save you way more than just money. What we're about to hear is power that will save you everything. So let's talk about this. What scam could we possibly be dealing with? The passage we're looking at starts with the words "for this reason." Some of your translations have it as a "therefore." And there's this old Bible study trick that whenever you're reading the Bible and you see "therefore," you've got to ask, what's the "therefore?" When you see "for this reason," this is just good advice. When you're reading the Bible, you should ask, well, what reason are we talking about here? And to discover that, you've really got to read what we talked about last week, the reasons he gave. And it's talking, of course, about Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And you may remember the words of this amazing blessing that Paul opens up Ephesians with. If you listened last week, you may remember some of the big categories, the giant topics of reasons why God has, well, here they are. Here's some reasons. God's blessed you. God's chosen you. God saved you. You're part of God's plan. You've got the Holy Spirit. Were sort of my shortcuts for summarizing these 11 profound verses with enough truth for you to think about and talk about for a lifetime. These are some of the reasons. And Paul only gives you the truth part of it. He doesn't really talk about the scam. So you've got to imagine alternatives to this. Here's how I picture it. Like, God's blessed you. Here's a scam. We don't really believe this. We chase blessings. Blessing just means happiness. So many people don't know this, so we chase after happiness in so many things that will never satisfy us, because the thing that really makes us happy is God Himself. And we chase after things and experiences and stuff, thing that makes us happy, when God is what brings us joy. Like, Christmas was a couple weeks ago, and if you have little kids like I do, you may notice that littered all over your house are toys and books and all the stuff that my kids really thought would bring them joy forever are mostly taking up space. And this isn't true for everything, but you can kind of see the writing on the wall. You'll see these things at the thrift store eventually, because it's true for adults. The things that you really think will bring you happiness seldom do that. And we're adults, we're more sophisticated, but we learn this over and over the hard way. We really think that what God has given us, the blessings in Christ, is never enough, so we spend and we tire over stuff that won't satisfy us, instead of delighting in the fact that God has blessed us sometimes by giving us things. There's nuance here, but it's really important that when you enjoy things, worship is being grateful because God's given them to you. It's a scam. Or this phrase, God chose you. We think about this a lot in our tradition. We belong to God brings us comfort. The scam looks like insecurity and self-doubt. We naturally think that I am who I decide to be, or I am what other people decide I am, or I'm a product of my wins and successes or losses and failures. Here's what it looks like. I don't want to pick on kids too much, but the fact is we adults are a lot like kids. We just hide our insecurity a little bit better. You can just watch little kids. They try and define who they are. They go through seasons saying, I'm popular, or I'm pretty, or I'm good at this or that, and it's just interesting how insecure they are sometimes. Like, I don't want to make fun. I'm not going to tell you which one of my kids this is, but one of them is really happy about he likes doing hair tosses. So, like, you see it in TV shows. But he does it with his entire body, and it's very funny to watch. But we're all like this. We don't know how insecure we are until something goes wrong. We just mask it really well. Insecurity is such a big issue, but don't get scammed. You are more than your job. You're more than your health, you're more than your stage in life, whatever you are, you're more than a dad or a mom or a grandparent or a single person or a college student. Your identity is not what you do. Do you know who you are? You should know. You're not just your reputation, you are chosen by God Almighty. And if that could just sink in, it would save you so much insecurity and heartache. Or on the topic, God saved you. This is huge. God saved you. Here's a scam. We get convinced that we save ourselves. We think somehow that we could be good enough or work hard enough to be a good enough person to be saved, when the fact is Jesus paid it all. It's a costly scam. This messes people up. Don't spend your life feeling guilty or being judgmental or prideful when it's the love of Christ that saves us. We're on the topic, God chose you before the beginning of the world. Like God, I mean, think about that. God knows what's going on, and you are part of his plan. Here's a scam. We look at a world that seems to us to be in complete chaos, and we think that we are the first person to ever notice this. We think no one knows what's going on. And that can really mess you up, right? The truth is that God has a plan, and he may not tell you what the plan is, but God is not making stuff up on the spot. God isn't reacting to world events in a panic. He's not making mistakes. The truth that will rescue you is that, you know, there are people, even people in this room, right, who have had difficulty in the past and can tell you stories that God has been faithful when they couldn't see a way out of it. One of the reasons why I think fellowship is so important is that we are better off for hearing about how God has helped other people who went through things we can't imagine. Or read history. I think looking back on other points of uncertainty, challenge, disappointment, or chaos makes me feel a little bit better to know that I'm not the first person to go through difficulty. Here's the truth. God's got this. Well, here's another scam, the lie that you're all alone and isolated. We think this sometimes. We think that no one gets me. No one is alongside of you. No one really understands you. It's a scam, and it's an expensive scam. Here's the truth. God himself, you can read this, I think it's verse 14. God is with you. The Spirit is with you. And sometimes when we're stressed, when we don't understand, like thinking that is expensive because we sometimes escape, and we escape into things, all sorts of things, from gossip to addiction to over-shopping to binge-watching Netflix to expressing our anger. We do that because we can't cope with life right now. We feel isolated. We want to escape. And in those moments, God says, he gives you a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help you navigate that. I mean, these are the reasons that Paul just is so excited about. This is such good news. And the Apostle Paul is so excited about that. That's verse 15 in a nutshell. And I hope you can think about each of these and talk about them, how much good news this is for you personally. And the Apostle Paul just cannot stop thanking God for what he's given you. And then he just goes, you know, I imagine thinking, okay, if there's people who are blessed and chosen, who God's given a spirit and blessings and all this, what else could you need? What do you give somebody who has all of this, who is the son or daughter of the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? How do you pray for someone who has a spirit? What do they really need? What do you really need? Paul answers that differently, maybe, than I would. Check it out. Here's what he says. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, the incomparable great power, he says, to those of us who believe. This is fascinating. Here's what I believe God says you really, really need. There's one thing that can break you out of a cycle of despair and hopelessness that cost you so much. There's something that can protect you from getting ripped off and wasting and hurting yourself. There's something that helps you when despair takes your energy and distraction takes your time and false hopes take everything from you. Here's what you need to know. In a phrase, you need to know God better. There's this language of God opening the eyes of your heart. If you could just see what's really going on, if you could see how big God is, it would change everything for you. I mean, we talk about so many things in these passages, but here's some big picture things. You as a Christian have things like riches and power. You just can't see it. That's what God says. When you think you're poor or you're weak or you're hopeless, you need to know that you've got riches and power that you just can't even see or imagine. The Apostle Paul almost can't help but elaborate on what you need to know. That power, he says, is the same. Like it's the same as the mighty strength that God used to raise Jesus from the dead above all rule and authority and dominion. He just keeps going. Like, I just think this is what God wants you to know, to let it sink in. You get God's Spirit who opens your eyes, and if you did, you could see that you have riches, and you've got power, and you've got identity and security, and an identity because Jesus is a way bigger deal than you could see right now. And in times when you can't see, when you think that a nation or a political party or a virus or a leader or a corporation, when there's so many things you see in front of you that look like they're in charge and have power and a plan and authority and dominion, in those discouraging moments, you're actually being scammed. You're not seeing what's real. You're not seeing what's truthful. And seeing the wrong thing costs you. The truth is, Jesus is King. And if you could see what's true, you'd be so much better off, and you could be part of the power and riches that God is using right now if you could only see it. And when I was a kid, it was the 90s, and stereograms were really, really trendy. This is a real thing. Some of you are younger and you won't believe it, but this is super popular for minutes. But basically, they'd make these patterns that looked like it was complete static. But if you stared this long enough, you could see a three-dimensional scene. Super trendy. I don't know why, but in the 90s, they're on pictures and posters. If you went to McDonald's, you'd see posters of these things, and people would just sit there squinting at these things. It's hard to imagine, but I got the Nintendo magazine back in the day, and a huge double-page spreads that just, it looked like static, but some of you remember these. I'm going to admit something that I just have never told anyone else before. I don't know what's wrong with me, but this is hugely embarrassing. I can't see these things for the life of me. And I'd be sitting in a McDonald's, and people would look at these things. They'd see it, and everyone else I knew could see it, and I could never figure these things out. I always felt, like, sort of dumb. Like, people would look at this for a while, and they say, it looks like, you know, ooh, there it is, it's Wario, or it's the Hamburglar. Whatever happened to that guy? I don't know. Actually, this one's supposed to look like two birds on a branch. I'm not sure if anyone could see it. I can't see any of these things. Once in a while, somebody would come next to me and say, point these things out, look at this angle. And I think I got to see one in my whole life because someone was really patient and, like, worked with me. Sometimes what's there is really hard to see. And there are some things in life that are difficult to see. Most people don't bother to spend the time to look. So we get scammed by what's easy to see, and we don't see what's real and happening around us. This is a passage about preventing getting scammed because we can't see what's going on. There's a sense in which all of us in this world are like me on that couch, distracted. A lot's going on, and we need something to break in and prevent us from buying into a scam. You may have to squint a little bit to see just how blessed you are in Christ, how rich and powerful Jesus is. Like right now, it looks like rich and powerful people are running the world because you can't see God's long-term plan witnessed in history. And you don't take your time to listen to the testimony of people, even in this room, who God has blessed through hardship. But if God, through His Spirit, could nudge you and prod you, if you could just see what's real, that God's got the whole world in His hands, that God's chosen you, if you could see what's true, you would trust Him and He could use you, and everything would look profoundly different, and it would be different. What do we do with this? I'm just going to invite you to do two things that are really simple. I want you to ask in your prayers that God's Spirit would show you what's hard to see. Use the language of this text, that God would enlighten the eyes of your heart. And then after you pray, you got to look for it. Don't give up. Read the Bible and ask God, could you just show me what you want to show me here? Spend time in prayer. Bring your confusion and your burdens to God Himself, going, God, I know I'm yours. I know you got this. I just can't see it. Can you help me see what's so hard to see? Those are prayers that God longs to hear. And I'm convinced that He blesses us and delights in people who long to see what's true and real and beautiful. So Father in heaven, as we approach your table, as we take some time to think about the gospel, could you, as the Apostle Paul prayed, could you open the eyes of our hearts? Can you enlighten the eyes of our hearts? Father, can you free us from whatever distracting narrative that might be harming us? Can you protect us from those moments where in our chaos and fear We give in to the easiest thing to see instead of trusting you when it's hard. When we become prideful or feel guilty because we think we've saved ourselves, can you remind us that Jesus paid it all? I ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior who rules and reigns forevermore. Amen.